This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Israeli military officials say the Red Cross confirms the release of 14 foreign nationals, or 14 Israeli hostages, and three foreign nationals on the third day of the temporary ceasefire. President Biden has just confirmed that four-year-old Israeli-American Abigail Idan is among them. It's the third day of the pause. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells CBS has faced the nation. It's going as well as could be expected.
Okay. Call set up for today with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I think you will see the United States continue to do what we have been doing, and particularly President Biden continue to do what he is doing, because that is what is generating results.
Correspondent Imtiaz Tayeb is in the West Bank.
In Gaza, the pause in violence allowed war-weary Palestinians to return to their homes in the north of the Strip, only to find entire city blocks gutted by airstrikes. Hamas leaders said Israeli forces had been preventing aid trucks from entering the area, a stark reminder of how brittle the truce agreement is, as Israel continues to vow it will resume its campaign to destroy Hamas after the pause.
As Americans head home from the holiday, WCBS-TV's Christina Phan says the highways and skies are going to be crowded.
The TSA predicts that it will screen 2.9 million people Sunday. That's the largest number of passengers in its 20-plus year history.
And CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says there could be some weather-related delays in the Midwest and East.
There will be heavy rain up and down the Northeast Corridor beginning late afternoon into the early evening and carrying on into Monday morning.
Pope Francis is a bit under the weather due to a lung inflammation, but he still appeared at Sunday morning's Vatican Mass. CBS's Anna Matranga is in Rome.
The Pope spoke briefly at the beginning and the end of the blessing, which was instead read by an aide sitting next to him in the chapel of the Pope's residence, not the usual window overlooking St. Peter's Square. The 86-year-old coughed and had a bandage on his right hand, but otherwise appeared normal.
From Sacramento, California, KOVR-TV's Sade Brown has more on a cultural shopping event there.
Organizers say the 7th annual Shop Black Friday event in Sacramento celebrates the need for the Black community to be more self-sufficient and to support seasoned entrepreneurs like Terilyn Tracy. She's had her business for 20 years.
It seems like that the community is actually supporting and they're actually recognizing that there are a lot of Black vendors out here.
And upcoming Black entrepreneurs.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Buy them a steal. Save $30 on the BG56.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. When federal policymakers advanced another temporary government budget, they also extended the recently expired farm bill. Farmers are breathing a sigh of relief, but advocates say ag concerns need focus and more support. Mike Mohn has more.
The Farm Bill sets spending levels for agricultural and food assistance programs every 5 years. The 2018 version expired earlier this fall, and lawmakers are now finalizing a year-long extension. Mike Lavender of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says they shouldn't wait the full year to adopt the new Farm Bill, noting the 2018 version came with limitations.
The 2018 Farm Bill, for example, decreased investment in some of the conservation practices and conservation programs that we know are key to building resilience, but also incredibly popular among farmers.
To deal with rising threats from climate change, his group says Congress should include new investments in the new version by early 2024. Last year's Inflation Reduction Act did bolster farm conservation funding, but Republicans have been trying to strip those provisions. Meanwhile, Lavender wants more priority given to strengthening regional offices that help farmers and ranchers sign up for sustainability incentives and other aid.
How are we making sure that USDA programs and Farm Bill programs are accessible to all farmers and that we have a level playing field? Because we don't have that right now.
Lavender worries about historically disadvantaged farmers and younger producers who don't come from a farming family being able to access support like crop insurance. He acknowledges the need for more staffing and enhanced training at resource centers. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Carrie Bell.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No, today, additional accumulation under an inch. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. It's 24 at our studios.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Kripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. And here's today's episode. Hey, folks, how we doing? Welcome to the Kripescast. Today, we are talking to Mike and Pat from the Crash Dummies podcast. It's a great podcast if you haven't listened. It has some similarities to the Bellied Up podcast where they take a lot of callers. And it's a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. Before we talk to Mike and Pat, we got Colleen over here in the Kripescast studio.
Hey.
What's up, Colleen? How we living?
We're living good. It's a lovely fall day and it's Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving week or whatever.
Yeah. So are you staying in town? Are you getting out of town? What's going on?
I'm going out of town or I'm going home to see my family.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. I'm very excited.
Are you?
Yeah. My sister-in-law is like going to have a baby any day now. So I get to go see and be around for that.
Oh, that's great.
And
do we know when the baby's due?
Due December 8th, but full term is 37 weeks, which I don't think people know. Like when you think of pregnancy, I don't know if you have any concept of like.
Oh, yeah. No, my mom only had 10 kids after me. I have no.
Yeah, but you don't have any concept of like timelines. What's full term?
All right. I don't know.
No, like when people
full
think,
term 9 months, right?
Right. So that's what people
nine
think.
Times four, 36.
Look at you with your
multiplication tables.
Why did I think, okay, for some reason, 42 weeks was in my head.
42?
I think that is like the last possible time that you can have a kid in you.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, her due date is December 8th, but she's already like, I'm going to refrain from details about her body, but she's already showing signs of that she's like going to be going.
Yeah.
So we think it's going to come early. We don't know if it's boy or girl. And so I'm super excited and I'm just like crafting away at things for the baby when they come. And so, yeah, I'm excited to go home and like help and be around for that stuff because I haven't been. So,
yeah, because you've been stuck here.
Yeah.
Working.
Yeah.
For some
working
hack
nine
comedian.
To five. Anytime 9 to 5 comes on, that have you seen that movie? 9 to 5?
No.
With like Dolly Parton and all them. Great movie if you haven't seen it. Dolly Parton, Jane Fonda. Who's the other girl? I can't remember. Oh, something. I don't know. But they hate their boss and they think of ways to kill him. And so anytime that song comes on, I'm just kind of like, I resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear that Charlie Barron's is murdered, you can come back to this podcast episode. But no. So yeah, I'm excited to go back for Thanksgiving and do Blackout Wednesday and all that stuff with my friends.
Oh God. Blackout Wednesday. I know I'm old because I have no desire to ever do that ever again.
Yeah.
I hate going to a crowded bar.
No, now I'm at an age now where we'll just do a wine night and get sloshed. Like that's okay. The way that I want to do it.
That's the game plan. I don't even, you know what? I do not, my body, I don't think can physically get drunk anymore. Like I stop before. Have you seen me drunk recently?
The last time I saw it was in Minneapolis when we were there last summer.
Yeah, that was probably, and I was not feeling good the next morning. I don't know. I just don't know if my body can handle it. Like I'll drink. I'll have a few drinks, but my body's, which I'm actually very thankful for, it just stops drinking, just starts drinking water. And yeah. I get made fun of for it all the time.
You know
time.
What you have to do? You put a lime in it in a straw and nobody knows.
Oh, I get a bitters and soda.
That's perfect.
I just had to do beers and soda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it's a
whiskey or something.
Yeah. Other. It looks like it's kind of a, and not a fruity drink because it's brown.
Brown. Right.
Bitters is brown. But, and there is a little alcohol in bitters. But or it's a very low alcoholic beverage.
You know what would be baller is if you just got like straight up an iced tea. And then you told people we're doing Long Island iced teas, and you're like, oh my God, he's an alcoholic.
I know.
Like, that's kind of a vibe.
No, but then I don't, I'm trying to go to bed, you know?
Iced tea's not that much caffeine.
I mean, I don't need it. I'm just trying to maintain and get
up. Yeah. You could just do seltzer water.
I just know I'm getting old because I'm just trying to find the quickest way to bed a lot of times at the bar.
That's so fair. I've contemplated getting a dog just so that's my reason for getting home. So I'm like, I can't stay out. I got to go get the dog.
Just have an imaginary dog.
Yeah. And there's like, we can't wait to meet your dog. And I'm like, oh, they're in training right now. Sorry. They're at boot camp.
That's really funny.
But like,
where's the dog? My sister's watching him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's my sister too. You mean Maggie? No, the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Addie? No, the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep going through sisters.
I love it.
No, but I want to be a party pooper for you and your friends. It'll be nice to go see your friends away from home.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm like tired right now, so I'm not like excited to drink, but I'm sure as soon as I like get home tonight, I'll be like, glass of wine.
Oh my God, you're leaving for home tonight?
I'm leaving.
You're driving?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Anyway, today's episode.
Yeah, today's episode. So what I love about it is Crash Dummies podcast. It's a Milwaukee podcast. These are both Mike and Pat, great, great dudes. Mm-hmm. Had them in here. You'll tell by this podcast.
There wasn't one cohesive like theme throughout the whole thing.
We were just riffing. And it's super fun, you know, when you get, other like comics podcasters in the deal. Because there are really no rules, and we kind of got their story more toward the end. If you're interested in how Crash Dummies podcast started, it's cool that they're in Milwaukee though. And we're gonna do. I was talking to Mike just before this intro, and we're gonna do some collab videos. So you guys can look out for those. It's gonna be a lot of fun. That being said, we will now get to my conversation with Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast. Well, thank you guys for coming out.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Actually wasn't that far of a drive, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where'd you come over from?
I don't know why we thought you lived in like...
Oh.
Like
way up north?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We was definitely stereotyping you, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Like you stay inside of a Quick Trip for sure.
I would just in the beer. Yeah. You have to walk through the beer freezer. Yeah. You have to pull like the Miller Lights three times.
You have to say Charlie three times to get in. Charlie.
Door just opens. Yeah, yeah. You walk through.
That's what we thought. Yeah.
Well, this is close.
Yeah, this is close. I like this.
It's nice. Where are you guys at?
Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to give the specific address?
None.
Come on, dude. Dox yourself.
I don't even think it's technically in Milwaukee, is it?
No,
the news definitely gave us our whole...
Yeah, the news is like, their studio's right in Walker's Point.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. We did the CBS 58 thing. That they said that they did one with you as well.
Oh, you guys did that one after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had they come out?
It just came out yesterday
or Wednesday.
It came out yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm a good journalist. Dude.
Yeah.
I was actually looking for other interviews you guys did, and then I was just listening to a bunch of your pods instead.
Yeah. This is like our second time away from our podcast.
That's wild.
The only other time was with Tommy G.
Yeah.
But that was still in our studio. So this is our first time together away from our studio.
How does it feel?
It feels like I can say anything I want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know why. That concerns me quite a bit.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, my humor just feels so much darker here. Like, I feel evil over here. It's so dumb because it's still going to get posted, and I can get canceled that way.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't get canceled here. And I don't know why I feel like that. Here's the deal.
You can't get canceled here because I'm going to cut out any cancelable
Because
I'm not going to... I don't want to jump on that train myself.
True.
I don't want to be the
the conductor of it, right? That's the guy driving the train, right?
Yeah.
Dude, do they exist anymore?
I was just going to ask that. I was like, what an awesome job, man. Could you imagine being at the front of a train? Yeah. Like, you know?
I just like how, like, trains know they're going to crash into something, like, almost a minute ahead of time. So you got time to go back, like, yo, I up, y'all. Like, we're about to crash in like 30 seconds. I up, right? Already hit the brake, bro. I don't know what else to do. Like,
but I feel like trains are kind of like automatic because they kind of go on the trails already, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what is like the what does a conductor do? Just make sure nothing. It's yeah, like you, almost like you being still in got an autopilot car.
You still got to switch though, right? There's at some point.
Yeah,
like,
they be walking from one end to the other though.
But I'm saying like at some point you come upon like a switch. Where the track takes you one way or the other.
And how do they control that?
Who? Oh, they got to call back. Well, they got to call and let them know.
Yeah, true.
Hey, like, I'm about a minute away.
I think they do have some stuff like that, though, that they got to control. Or there's like an, what is it, a ground traffic controller. Mm-hmm. Like, I just made that up, but there's air traffic control. You guys both were like, yeah, that sounds right.
That's right.
Sounds right.
I think, go ahead. No, I think they're just there to see if there's a guy tied up in a rope laying down on the train tracks.
There he is.
We got one. Somebody tried to get him. That's like the dumbest way to kill somebody. It's like so long. Like, you know what? We're gonna tie you up and wait till a train runs over you, and we're just staying here all night. Toot toot. You hear that, buddy?
I think it's just like to like that slow death part of it though. It's just like when people tie the little cinder blocks to your feet before they throw you in the water.
That's just plain evil, though.
The cinder blocks?
Yeah, to like sink someone.
No,
like,
you have to sink to the bottom because you might be able to swim.
You would rather be tied to train tracks for death rather than sunk?
I'm telling you, nobody's ever going to torture me. They're going to kill me right away because I'm not going to stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
You're one of those guys in the mob movies where it's like, will you shut up? And I'm never going to pow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how I want to go out. You're not going to torture me and then kill me.
That's why I always hated in those movies when like the criminals, like especially when Batman get them, when they give them the information and they still kill you. It's like, bro, why am I giving you this information if I know there's nothing else. There's no living after this.
I don't like Batman, though.
No, Batman's the worst superhero.
Why? Because Batman, I will say, historically, has been my favorite superhero.
Really?
Yeah. But as I've gotten older, I've kind of seen him in a different light.
Yeah.
You know? He's kind of a, especially in the Dark Knight, he's kind of a prick, man. He's kind of like into surveillance and... He's kind of like
conservative
TikTok,
punk,
you know?
Yeah. That's what he is.
Conservative?
You see all the other superheroes. It's like, oh, the building's falling. The guy took over all the power of the city and he's controlling everything. You know, Spider-Man, Superman, they're going to stop all that. Batman's like, yo, why the f- are you selling weed, boy?
He's going after the low.
We're just selling drugs here, Batman. Like, what's up? No, f- that. Like, it's like pedophiles everywhere. It's like people committing crimes.
Where's the weed?
Where's the weed? You guys selling coke? Like,
wait, what?
There's like more of those one things that's like, I feel like, almost like an industry plan in a sense where he got the money to become a superhero where he didn't really get the natural way of getting a superpower. Like, you know, Superman had everything else. But Batman's just like, hey, I can buy my superpowers because I have
He's kind of like, he's a rich kid, but he went through some stuff. He saw his parents get murdered in
front
of him.
And didn't do anything about it. Soft as You beating everybody up. What about the guys that killed your parents and you told you curled up like a punk?
He went and cried to... What's his name? Alfred.
Alfred.
Dude. That guy.
Yeah.
And then, but in the thing, then he goes away and he like learns like karate or something.
Some type of powerful karate.
I think I could take Batman in a fight, right?
No, you can't. I don't think so.
Hand to hand combat?
No, you're black too. He beat the out of you. Batman would turn his body cam off and just beat the crap out of you. Just beat the dog.
You don't think so?
Nah,
karate? I don't think karate really works in real life.
How does boxing translate? Because I have I boxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm a boxer. Yeah. I'm saying I have participated in the event of boxing poorly multiple times. Dante, actually, we boxed together a little bit. He'll tell you I'm bad. But how long have you been boxing?
Only like a year now.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, shut up.
Yeah.
A year?
Yeah, only a year.
I've been boxing way longer than that.
I like how you don't say the year.
Way longer than a year. How'd you get that good that fast?
Just
dedication?
Having time to do it, I think. And just had a really decent like athletic background. Because I was when I graduated Lakeland, I actually got a chance with like the 49ers and the Giants. So just being a decent athlete, and then
wait, what do you mean you got a chance?
I was like in camps and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What position?
Wide receiver.
Nice.
Yeah, never the Packers though.
Why not?
I don't know.
They didn't really have any interest.
You don't give out Packer vibes either. You don't give that like Donald Driver, you know, Greg Jennings smile, like grateful to be here. You kind of give that like Giants. Like,
yeah, I think I would be the one that doesn't Lambeau leap.
New York.
Yeah.
Never Lambeau leap. Just point at the guys like, yeah. Right, you thought I was jumping, huh?
I'm not risking my Achilles on that jump.
That's a high jump. When I walked around the stadium, that's like a decent jump. You have to really trust the fans to like give you that little
not fans up. Owners
yeah owners
yeah they're
yeah.
all owners
oh yeah true
I'm an
that's
owner.
Just the way that's just the
I'm
way
an owner
you are
huh? Yeah
are so you part you, owner
yeah so you guys talk, start talking I want to hear it
you want to hear it
yeah
okay you got the seats or not I get it's supposed to be historic it's kind of like the what's the Cubs Wrigley it's kind of like the Wrigley
field
thing going on but like it has to be some like type of new something that happens within the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're thinking about it, so if you don't get
I'll bring this back to the board. Bring it back to the board.
If you don't get a generational quarterback, right?
Right.
You got two in a row.
Yep.
You got two in a row, crazy. Two top 10 quarterbacks in a row ever. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
We've done good.
Right, done good. If you don't get that again, which Jordan Love might not be, if you don't get that again, how do you get guys to say, hey, I'm willing to come to Green Bay? Not the guys that are just be like, I have to go to Green Bay because they're offering me the best contract. But the guys that just be like, hey, I want to go to Green Bay because obviously it's definitely a winning tradition, but like what else are you giving them? Because you go to like Milwaukee. One time we were out in I feel bad for like the Bucks players and the Packers players because the accessibility of like privacy when you go out in club is terrible. Like I can get in the set wherever Giannis wants to go, I can sit right next to him. And that should not be a thing. Yeah.
Really? So yeah. So okay. All right. So I lived in like LA for a little bit and Dallas for a little bit and Washington, DC. And in each one of those cities, like the club game, I had one buddy who was a promoter in LA, so I would get into some clubs and I would basically get in there and not be able to afford any drinks. So anytime I've been in these areas, I haven't had the money to like access a club. Now I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't belong in a club.
You know? Yeah, that's how, yeah.
Not at all.
By the time you get the money, you're like, I don't belong here. And you're wondering, like, I paid $300 for a bottle of Grey Goose.
I know. Yeah. I paid $300 for a bottle of Grey Goose and to lose part of my hearing forever. You know? Like, yeah. I hate, like, waking up, like, drunk and just ringing in my ears. Like, I'm never going to get that hearing back. Those little follicles are just dead. Yeah. You know?
Waking up with burn marks from the sparklers.
Sometimes those bottle service, the dances go on a little too long.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think anything more than 15 seconds, it's just like,
birthday, all right. Happy
birthday, Mike. And then everybody has their phone out. It's just it's like, all right.
Hey, it's the birthday boiling.
Wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up, man. I'm only getting one bottle. I don't want them to notice.
And you also know that they're putting the sparklers in the bottle so they can pop the bottle, pull out another bottle, pour half of it in there, and then cut it.
Yeah.
I think that's my conspiracy.
Yeah.
I never knew if you didn't finish the bottle there. This is my first time at like getting bottle service. I never knew if you didn't finish the bottle, you can't take like the bottle with you.
Oh, no.
No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Because they're using that for the next. They're just going to fill it up with water, put a sparkler on, give it to the
next
fella.
That's crazy.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they know you're already drunk. Nobody's going to the club like super sober.
Well, and also, I mean, you know, a Grey Goose bottle is a pretty sweet like weapon if you're fighting Batman.
Yeah.
You know, like just, you know. Oh, this is funny.
That's the type of fights he likes though. You know, he likes to all I have is a pistol, so I get to throw a blade at your wrist. Batman's not a good superhero. Spider-Man's probably the best one.
Spider-Man is would you guys okay.
There's too many.
Let's say you're Spider-Man and your Spidey senses start tingling in Iowa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How Yeah, you know, because you're like running through a cornfield and you're like,
yeah.
You have nothing to grab onto. Yeah. Like, it just goes until you get to like Des Moines. Yeah. And then you're like,
that is very true. Yeah. That is, hey, I've never heard that before. Spider-Man cannot survive in the Midwest.
No, man.
You literally
no.
just have to stay in Chicago. Like, yeah, man, I can't help anybody outside of here.
Yeah, I know. He's got to hope like a plane's flying by at the right time or
I'm
something.
I'm all for like, diversity and stuff like that too, but there's too many Spider-Mans.
Yeah,
there's a Mexican Spider-Man.
There's a Mexican Spider-Man.
Yeah. Miles Morales.
Is Miles Mexican? I thought he was black.
He's black and Mexican.
He's black and Mexican. Yeah, they just mix. Hey, man, we're gonna give you a minority, all right?
They got a
Mexi-Black.
Tommy, what's his name? Maguire.
Who is? Oh, Toby Maguire.
Toby.
Is that that's the original?
That's the original. Who else is the Garfield? They got a British. The British one.
Andrew Garfield.
Two British ones.
They're both British. And Tom,
yeah.
I really thought that they were like the same guy. Like, in my mind, if you were to say name a Spider-Man, I probably would have said Tom Garfield or something. I literally can't tell that. If you show me a picture of those two dudes, I can't tell you the difference.
You ever acted? Huh? You ever been in any movies?
Yeah. I've been in a couple movies. You ever seen the movie Cedar Rapids? I was the out of focus pool boy in that.
Cedar Rapids.
It's a movie. I was a PA on it.
I thought you were joking. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I know.
You gotta send me a timestamp. I definitely gotta find that.
Yeah. Because I was getting coffee and like taking care of the microphones or the walkie-talkies on that. Also, Public Enemies. You guys remember when they shot that in Wisconsin? It was back in the day. It was 2008.
I'm the worst person like movie.
Yeah,
like, I get it. I would only know this because I'm in it. But, but I'm like a extra in it. And on that set, it was all about the mobsters, like John Dillinger and those guys. Mm. So there's this one scene where they have all the extras smoking these unfiltered cigarettes, you know. And I was in that scene too. And they were like, okay, do the exact same thing on every scene, and I did a French inhale, so I was like thinking I had to French inhale this unfiltered cigarette, you know, and I was so sick, you know, like
so that's what they do, like the cigarettes in those movies don't be like real.
No, they're like I feel like some of them were real, but no, they were either real or they were an herbal cigarette.
Mm.
But either way, it's disgusting.
An herbal cigarette sounds crazy, though.
Yeah, it's like you're smoking oregano, like back in high school when someone would actually sell a bag of oregano.
You want some? Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
All right, we got to get... Where are both of you guys from?
Yeah, we need to talk
about we got. Oh, yeah. I try getting somewhere, and then we start talking about Batman.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get back
Patrick
to Sheboygan.
I'm Patrick Johnson. I stole your phone.
You did?
Yeah. Wow. I was trying to prank you, but you never like came for it. I'm Patrick Johnson. I'm from Pontiac, Michigan, originally.
Pontiac, Michigan.
We both came here. I came here a year earlier than him in 2011 to Sheboygan, to Lakeland.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Michael Essiobu. I was born in Nigeria, actually. Moved to Chicago when I was like 5, and then went to high school in Nigeria, and then Sheboygan.
Missing a big part in there.
What?
London.
Oh yeah, a little bit for a little bit.
Shout out to London, man.
Yeah, I got sent to boarding school in Nigeria by force.
They're strict. They're whipping them with bamboo sticks.
Really?
Yeah. Real like modern day school. Slavery.
Do you have to go pick?
He has like two big ass marks down his back.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Do you have to like go pick a switch?
Oh yeah, you have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But they came in like they had like the discipline committee. So it was just like they walked through like the Avengers with like these long like bamboo sticks, because bamboo sticks don't break.
Yeah.
They use that for like construction too. So it's like really durable thing.
Oh yeah.
So you get whoopings in school.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence, but yeah, my parents.
What'd you do to get sent to boarding?
It was really my brothers.
What would they do?
It was just, my parents were divorced and they happened to travel to Nigeria at the same time because they don't talk. So we were pretty much in Chicago by ourselves at ages like 8th grade, freshman year of high school type of thing. And then my brother just didn't go to school. And then he got kicked out of high school. And then I was just showing up late. So just like, all right, we have to send them back to Nigeria. And they knew we wouldn't go willingly.
Yeah.
So my grandfather passed away. So that was like the excuse to bring us there. So we went there. We were there for like 2 weeks.
They're like, one way ticket.
You're not coming back. So the, so we end up in Nigerian boarding school.
And you were what, a freshman at this point?
Yeah, like a sophomore.
I mean, that's pretty wild.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You just you just don't hit your friends back, like you don't.
I mean, it was, you know, like you go through this like the moments of thinking that you can still get back. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. They took everything. So I was trying to like,
they
get
knew
my,
you again.
Yeah. So I had like connection. My friend lives in the same building. I knew I had like some money under a bed type of stuff. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport. It just was too much work.
Wait. Yeah. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
So those, that guy in my inbox is right.
Nigerian prince?
Yeah. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Nah, people, they fall for that. They deserve it. I'm not going to lie.
I know. If you get scammed by a guy wearing like a polo collar shirt with hoop shorts, that's on you. Yes, I am your cousin. Your uncle Rob.
They be scamming like the old women and stuff like that.
Yeah, they get old women have like really, really good hearts. Yeah. So we're just like, oh, we're related. Like my grandma, oh my God. You should see her email. Like every once in a while, I have the password to her email because she's like so bad at falling for scams.
Oh my God.
Like
grandma,
you know how
too.
Many like different cousins like I've had that like she's ready to send money to and stuff like that. And there's like this one time, like maybe she's been almost scammed 50 times. And my actual cousin needed money on his books, and I like forced her not to do it. And he got out of jail, and he was just like, "Bro, why didn't you let Granny send me $50?" I was like, "Hey, sounded like a scam to me, man." If you commit the crime, do the time.
That's fun.
Nah, he should definitely go back to jail. But go ahead. What
were you going to say? That was my first boarding school. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So, and then you guys, what Pontiac, Michigan? What was that like? You like Pontiac, Michigan? You go back, you Lions fan?
Yeah, I'm a Lions fan. Do I like Pontiac, Michigan? I like that I'm from there.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot.
Yeah, right.
I would never move. It's not a place you move back to. Right. It's like once you're out, you're out. Pontiac's more like, it's like on the outskirts of Detroit. It's kind of like a mini Detroit.
Got you.
There's no diss to like anybody in Pontiac, but that's what like people portray us as. And, you know, it's some rough size. It's some okay size, but it's just like not a place you can grow in for sure.
It's kind of a place that, like Detroit, was sort of left from the auto worker days, sort of like vacated.
Right. We got a bunch of plants there.
Yeah.
There's some that are back up and running. I know my dad works in one, so it's just like they have stuff there.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like a ghost town. It's ran by like the state now because there's no, like the state police is there. There's no.
Oh, wow.
There's no Pontiac Police Department. There's sheriffs there all over.
It's interesting to see that happen to towns, and sort of like now you kind of have this resurgence a bit of people like now selecting some towns that have been sort of left because they're looking at that all that space, you know, Amazon or something like that. And you kind of are thinking like when that shoe drops, do they have exit plans now? Because I feel like that manufacturing, build quick, build big, build the plants, and then as soon as it's gone, just leave it. Because to what it does to a neighborhood to have this entire friggin' factory right in the middle of it, you know, it's not good for anything if that thing is not there.
But the thing with Pontiac is like, this is just a bunch of thieves. Like at the beginning, like when I was growing up, Pontiac got like a lot of like
funding
from the states. Mm-hmm. So they got like, oh, we'll give you millions for this, millions to help your school. Then they had all these people just like stealing money. Like, oh, they won't notice if 50,000 were gone. Well, there's 10 of you stealing right now. So yeah. 10 of you.
Only one of you can steal.
All 10 of you can't be thieves. So all like everybody was stealing, like athletic directors were stealing to a point we had to like combine schools. One school closed. Yeah, one high school in the whole city.
So are you saying like this was after the industry had left, the funding came in?
The industry was still there. It was like almost like all happening at the same time.
Okay.
Like going downhill, like our mayors are weird.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the suburbs of Milwaukee.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Marquette High School.
Marquette. Oh, okay.
I was one of those guys. Yeah, it was I grew up in a big family of
12 kids.
Damn.
So, yeah.
One parent? Two parents?
Two parents.
I said one parent. Yeah. I mean, it's 2023. People can have one parent. Test two babies.
I was one of 12, and I was just one of the older ones. So, yeah, it was one of, which was interesting. You guys have a lot of siblings?
Yeah, I got seven sisters.
Seven sisters?
Mm-hmm.
I got eight.
Right, eight? Sheesh.
Yeah, I know. Are you one of, do you have brothers?
I'm third oldest.
Third oldest?
Yeah.
You think you're not the only boy, though?
Got one more boy.
One more boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's younger.
So nine.
Yep.
Nice. But
broken child. Household, though.
Two, how many?
I don't have a full sibling. Like, okay. I don't have a sibling where I could be like, we got the same mom and dad.
Got you. Yeah. Got you. Yeah.
I don't think any of my siblings do.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News special report. Hamas has released 17 people in the third group of hostages to be let go. President Biden says it shows the agreement with Israel is working.
We will not stop working until every hostage is returned to their loved ones.
4-year-old Abigail Edan is the first American to be released.
You know, she's free and she's in Israel now. And so those who are now wrapping Abigail in love and care and the supportive services she needs, she's been through a terrible trauma.
The president has said that the agreement could be extended. World Food Program Director Cindy McCain tells CBS's Face the Nation that would be helpful.
Bottom line, we need more trucks in, we need more aid in, we need to be able to have more access to be able to distribute the aid. And, you know, hopefully maybe a longer time to do that, not just 4 days.
She says malnutrition among Gaza's children could go up by 30%. CBS News Special Report, I'm Peter King.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers win back the axe. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers beat Minnesota 28-14 in Minneapolis. That's the sound of the Badgers' offensive line chopping down the Gophers' goalposts with Paul Bunyan's axe after the game. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
That was a special night. That was a special game. I got to give it to our guy. I mean, the heart, the soul, the grit. But I just mean that the ability to sustain some things. Because at the end of the year, we all know there's nicks and bruises. There's guys that are hurt. There's plenty of guys that I said there's no way they would have played today, and they did.
The Badgers now 7-5 and wait for a bowl bid. The Gophers finish at 5-7. Head coach P.J. Fleck.
Sorry, we weren't able to give you the year that you all probably really wanted. There's a lot of things. And I mean, at one point, there were six freshmen on that defense on the field at one time today. That's not where you want to be, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
That's Minnesota head coach P.J. Fleck. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow today, additional accumulation under an inch. We'll see high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. Currently 26 degrees.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, folks, you are listening to the Cripes Cast. We are talking with Mike and Pat from the Crash Dummies podcast, and this is on Civic Media. Okay, so, all right, so can you guys tell me, like, how you met and decided to do the podcast?
I'll give you the shortest rundown.
Yeah, I believe that afterwards.
Don't say no. We met at Lakeland in Sheboygan, played football together, graduated, kind of just did our own things, like, with jobs and stuff like that, pretty much one day. Me and Pat used to hang out a lot, crack jokes. I did a lot of stuff in social media in college, and my main job is marketing and stuff like that. So I knew that the short clips, I knew Pat was really funny. So I just said, hey, let's start this podcast. We bought the equipment. That was like the main commitment. It was just like buying the stuff so you can't really back out of it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bought the equipment and just literally started. We're fortunate enough where like our first clip on like TikTok just went viral.
So
it was just like always up from there. We started like 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And just kind of been going up. We've done a lot of brand deals, worked with a lot of good companies and stuff like that now. So it's kind of like a full-time podcasting. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did it feel like when that first clip took off?
That was probably the only clip that's ever taken off that felt good. I gotta say, there's two clips. Everything else is like, you're so far into manifesting that you like are already on to the next thing. Yeah. The first clip was kind of like, oh, shit. And then we got that first clip, which reached like 300,000 in a day. And then we started getting the, you're good, but not viral type of views, like you're getting 9k, 10k, 11k, and you're just like, oh shit, when's the next one? We got to get a million. And then we see like different podcasts. I see some podcasts like take shortcuts. What I call like shortcuts, they go for like these scripted viral moments that they can't keep up forever, instead of just like being themselves and having like being organic. So we're watching some podcasts that either started before us or after us jump over us in numbers.
You're comparing.
Yeah, and we're comparing and we're like, that's fake. But we just like tried to stay true to ourselves and like not worry about what other people are doing. And then as you like progress along, because we compare, we never really got to like enjoy like the views, because we're just like, what's the next thing? What's
and
the
you
next
know
thing?
How
it's like a good thing and bad thing.
And you know how social media is. It's one of those things where you put out a clip, right? It does well, but now it's like on to the next one already. So it's like,
when I don't know what that's like at all, guys. No, yes, I live in the moment every looking at Colleen. No, it is. It is very much. You don't always have time to enjoy it because you are like on to the next one and you are editing the next thing or doing the next stand up show or doing, you know, whatever it is. And that is the tough thing to figure out, to find your zen in this this craziness.
Yeah. Kind of like the next steps for us too is just like doing more stuff like this, collaborating with different people. That's why it's cool to like this other big, you know, podcasts and other big influences in a sense that in Wisconsin.
I mean,
in
I love that. And we gotta do some videos.
Yeah,
too.
Viral stuff. Yeah.
That's what I thought would be fun to start with the podcast. Then we can you know, we can think of some stuff.
We're trying to work on a farm for a day.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking with Dante about doing that.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing a first-time dairy farmer video.
Has to confirm. We have to go back through the farmer's like lineage, like their heritage, to make sure we aren't repeating history. Hey, he's like, hey, man, I'm glad to have you guys here. And, you know, we owned your grandfather, right? He's a really good guy. That back muscle's just like that. Two of you guys, your grandfather used to move this by himself.
It becomes get out really quick. Yeah.
So you got to make sure, like, you know, the guy's a good guy. He's not like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but doing stuff more like that in IRL stuff, like,
yeah,
that's kind of like our next kind of like.
Yeah, plan. I saw the horse.
Yeah.
See, that was tougher for us to do because it was like a huge favor by like one of our friends, and that was her horse. Mm. So we really couldn't like toy around. Mm. And the other big part is we were scared as
horses are scary. Yeah.
Like, I had a fight coming up too. So I was like, was
yeah,
like,
you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like they, and I just.
And they know if you're scared.
Yeah.
They come can right feel up to that. You and,
like,
yeah.
Hit you with like their face and stuff like that.
Yeah. But you know who is boss.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And they tell the thing is like, oh, the thing about horses is weird. It's like, oh, don't stand behind them. They'll kick you. And then the horse will literally put you in a position where you're behind them.
Yeah.
But then there's another horse that if you move here, you're behind this horse. And then if you move here, you're behind this horse.
You're on the wrong end of a lot of horses.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
When's like your next show in Wisconsin?
I'm doing Reedsburg on Saturday.
Where's Reedsburg?
By the Dells. Mm-hmm. You guys ever go to the Dells?
Yeah. We have a friend that lives out in the Dells.
You like the Dells?
My experience with the Dells is like, I've stayed in a really expensive suite in the Dells.
The Kalahari?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've also like been at like some grimy ass places where it's like them is kind of dirty.
Me too.
Yeah. Cause I went there for like the Dells has that like a dome, that football dome, whatever. It's like an indoor football turf that they got from like an NFL team. When I was a college football coach.
Oh.
I went there and like scouted.
They let you coach
a camp. Yeah, I coached D2 football and D3 football.
Right now.
No, I quit. I quit everything.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fifth Color was the last job I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Where I saw you at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you not in the Dells?
I've done shows in the Dells. I haven't gone back there in a minute. Reedsburg's close.
How far is Reedsburg from here?
I want to say 20, 30.
Oh, that's not okay. Bad.
Something from the Dells.
Oh, but it's an hour.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours.
God
from
damn.
Here. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You gotta let us know when.
You guys doing live shows?
Soon. Yeah, soon. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. You know what? I got this Bellied Up podcast, which is we take callers too.
Yeah.
And oh man, callers, that's the best.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to prepare anything.
Nope.
And
nope.
Then some of them just say that you're like, oh yeah, this
they'll do one's the work for
go.
You.
Yeah.
Some of our best call, I feel like our most viral video, the girl kind of did the work for us. You know, it's just like
same with on the Bellied Up. Yeah.
Sometimes people just do the work for you because they have that one story. The problem is like that person like keeps hitting you up and just be like, your life is not interesting after this fentanyl accident. So it's just like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Like you're not an interesting crackhead. Like you had one moment.
You've got some, but I feel like we got this one guy who's called back a few times and I just feel he wants to do stand up. And I was just like, man, if you do it, you'd probably be good at it. But like, that's a tough thing to get someone who's like in the moment, like really good to like, and then that clip did go viral to like replicate that and then do the work of like going to the clubs and working out
that's,
material on
that's
it.
That's going to start doing some stand-up
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's totally, that's, stand-up at, is totally different. Stand-up is like you're telling people before you get on stage, hey, I'm funny. And then walking on stage and then trying to make them laugh. There's nothing like, have anybody ever told you, like, when they find, you probably get it all the time. Hey, tell me a joke.
Yeah.
You're funny, you're a comedian, right? And you're like, what? Like, anytime someone tells me that, I just swing. It's just like, it's better this way that you don't like me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like.
I tell a really bad joke. Yeah, that's what I do. Okay. And I'd say very serious. Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor started doing some comedy now, too.
Yeah, I have, like, a smaller show tonight.
Yeah. Oh, where at?
North Avenue.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long are you? What are you doing? You're featuring? You headlining?
Headlining.
Sweet.
It's like a little 15, 20 minutes.
What's the capacity over at that one? Like, I think it's like, what, 100?
Yeah, it's like, can't
50,
be more.
I think.
Is it 50?
It can't be more. It can't be more than like 75 because I was only allowed to sell 20 tickets.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I was only given 20 tickets. The other comedians were, and then
they already had people
buy some.
Yeah. So. Okay, well that's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great, man. When I was first coming up doing stand up, I was living in LA at that point, and oh man, I did these bringer shows, and I would buy the tickets, and then I gave them away to my friends, and none of them showed up.
Oh.
You know, like it was so hard in LA to get people to go anywhere because traffic, and then even if you give them away the tickets, they still got to pay for parking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like $10, $15.
You probably couldn't wait to move. Why did you move to LA? Was it like the Hollywood thing? Like,
no, when I first moved out, the social media thing wasn't a thing. It was 2009, 10. I'm a little older. And then, so if you wanted to do this thing, you had to go to L.A. And then I got into the news biz, and then I went around the country in all those other cities, and then I moved back to L.A. to do red carpet news. Mm. And I hated that. And so I started doing stand-up at night.
Well, so who do you talk to in a red carpet?
Any celebrity that you can imagine.
That's so like...
Who's the most famous person you talk to?
I don't know. Matthew McConaughey, Johnny Depp, Will Ferrell.
So
like you would have like A-list people.
You ever talk to somebody that you didn't know and you had to pretend that you knew?
Yeah, I remember there was a lead of some film, but it was this actor who I can't even remember anymore. But if I said him, you would know. And I think I had bad facial recognition. I couldn't remember people. Like I think I had a conversation with who was it? God, I can't even remember. It was the one with Amy Schumer.
The train
wrecked.
Oh, that guy with the dark hair.
Bill Hader? No, it wasn't.
It has to be that guy with the dark hair.
It might have been Bill Hader.
He's on the Family Show too.
It was not Bill Hader. No, because it wasn't. I would have known Bill Hader. This was in Texas. I was doing this. Anyways. Wait, what were you saying? I was trying to think of this guy.
Oh, yeah. You didn't recognize him?
No, I didn't. I didn't recognize anybody, though, like for the most part. What? I would take the top three people on the call sheet, Google their name, see if there was anything newsworthy that they were doing, and then try to get them to say something about that, because that would be the only clip that would matter, you know? And then...
Were your like interviews in like comedic inspired? Well, or just like actually like...
No, it was news. If they were comedic, that'd be great. But the whole news business, it was just turning and burning at that point. It was all YouTube clips. It was like, put the names up, put the hashtags, put whatever. So, and you've got like 50 people coming down on red carpet. You don't know when anyone's coming down. And we weren't a big enough organization. It was with Variety, but we were like the stepson brand of Variety. And so I didn't have someone telling me. Those like E and all those places, they have a producer there. This is so-and-so. This is what you asked.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have that. So I was just
guessing. You're just winging it.
Yeah.
Probably talking to George Clooney and you just don't know.
The thing about like even stuff like that, I've like seen your stuff before, but like, I think when I first saw you, it was like the Manitowoc Mint.
Manitowoc Mint.
Yeah.
Were you living in Manitowoc?
No. So I was in LA. I was doing a show. I remember I just got done doing a show at the Comedy Store. And it was this Midwest bit because I was in news and I was doing this news Midwest guy, which was the basis of the Manitowoc Man. I didn't call it the Manitowoc Man yet. The crowd, it was a packed show. I says, anyone from the Midwest? A bunch of people raised their hand. I says, anyone from Wisconsin? This one guy's from Manitowoc. And we had a back and forth in the thing. And then that night I was editing the Manitowoc Minute, the first one. And I was trying to think of what to call it. And then I wanted the alliteration. So I wanted it to be like Menasha Minute, I was considering, Marshfield, you know, Minocqua was another one. And then I was listening back to that thing. I was like, oh, Manitowoc, that's what I'm going to do. And I think part of the reason it took off was because at the time in 2016 or in 2017, Making a Murderer was everything. And Manitowoc couldn't get away from that. So they were like, we'll take anything to distract it. It's like, hey there, folks, welcome to the Manitowoc Man. They're like, all right, fine, I guess I'll take that. You know, it's like when you're like trying to buy something buy some donuts and you're like, could I have some Long Johns? And you're like, yeah, we don't have those, but we do have the cream filled whatever. And you're like, all right, yeah, I'll take that.
So that's how I first heard about you.
Was Manitowoc Mint.
I had this older co-worker, and like he would come up, like he found out about our podcast.
Yeah.
And he would come up at Fifth Color, he'd come up to me and just like, you heard of Charlie Behrens? Just like, no. Then he like, take my keyboard and type in your stuff. And I have to watch like your videos because he'd be standing behind it.
It's the best way. And then you have to like give a laugh here and there.
And I was just like, you know, the first time someone does that, you're like so against it. So you're not even paying attention to the video.
Yeah.
And then I started watching a couple on my own. And then he caught me watching it. And then like.
Oh, nice.
You check out that new Charlie Behrens video. All right, Jim.
Would you say then, because your comedy is inspired by a lot of like Midwest stuff, right?
Yeah.
What like states are kind of like the Midwest that aren't in the Midwest, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Like there's a lot of people from the Midwest in Arizona, in Florida. Pennsylvania has Midwest vibes. Upstate New York, I would say Alaska.
What was like in Alaska?
What
was it like in Alaska? I've never been there.
I've
a forgotten child.
So I only been there one time, but it's pretty Midwest in that. Like yeah, people really? Are like we were going, I was going with the first mate of this ship. I was working on this ship and this fishing ship. And first mate, she's taking us on this hike like the next day. And while we were on the ship, the hardest dude I've ever met in my life, like most backwoods guy, was like, I would never go hiking without my gun. Like, because there's bears and stuff, like grizzlies, big ass bears.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're going out and I'm like, she's like, we get halfway there and she's like, oh, shoot, I forgot my bear spray. And I was like, well, let's go back.
Yeah.
She was like, no, we've gone too far. I was like, no, we haven't.
No,
it's my birthday. I got all the time in the world today.
Where is Alaska on the map? Cause I feel like when I see the map, right?
Are you kidding?
Where is Alaska?
Nah, you're joking. You can always put this foreigner car, like, bro.
Where is Alaska on the map?
Bro, because
when
now.
I see the map, they just be putting like on the bottom in the corner somewhere.
That's true. That's true. It's gotta cut out.
Because the map don't really show exactly where it is when you're just showing the USA.
It's up and to the left. Yeah.
Wait, we own that?
Yeah.
How?
It's like the way like Alaska is. It's like America went up there and just like, can we have this right here?
Like, I'm sure they didn't say, can we have this? It's like, we're taking this. I think we bought it from Russia though.
Yeah.
What is that true? Yeah. I think Russia.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think they gave it to us because Canadian bacon sucks so bad. We're just like, yo.
Canadian bacon? I know.
Isn't that terrible? It's just like fried ham. Like, you guys are freaks.
I know. Like, this isn't bacon, guys. Come on. Even I know this. That was like my grandpa, like, when he would make eggs, he would take, like, the brats from, like, the church cook, and he would just pull them out, chop them up, and put them in the eggs, mm-hmm. You know?
That's so, that's so Green Bay-ish.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, and that was great. But I forget what he called them. But he called it like a very upscale name. It was just brats and
just
eggs.
Brats and eggs. Yeah, that's everything.
I can't do
but
brats.
Yeah, Alaska. Mm-mm. I feel like every day at noon in Alaska, somebody just screams snowball fight. That's how they decide the brats.
It's a crazy place, man. It's like super, super wild. And I mean wild like animals. Like you can just die out there, you know,
and
the elements and all that. So all right, well, so we got Thanksgiving coming up, and we can kind of do this rapid fire.
You got any family traditions? On we'll do Thanksgiving or Christmas, any family traditions that you guys?
My mom used to have like these stockings that she would like fill up, but like
Saint Nick's Day.
Yeah, like but as we got older, it kind of dwindled down to like a bottle of like cologne. She got really cheap at the end.
Yeah. You know?
Shame on her. I haven't actually received a present since I was probably 17.
A Christmas gift?
Yeah. Like anything.
No significant others?
Yeah, you get, time? I mean, you get those type of gifts.
Oh, you're saying from your folks?
Yeah, from my, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad went through like this phase where he was like Muslim. So it was like,
oh, God.
Yeah, like he was like purposely doing shit. Like he was giving me gifts on December 27th, just so you know, like, no Christmas around here. I'm like, it's still the 27th.
Like, it's close like, enough. So you're just late for Christmas.
Yeah. He'll probably be mad if he hear that, but hey, man. Did you ever have bacon just ripped right from you in 1 week? Like,
it wasn't the Canadian bacon either.
No,
it was the real
just wake up and there's like a green Bible sitting on the table. You're like, what the fuck is going on? Why does it start with a Q?
You guys have a drunk aunt uncle at family gatherings?
Crackhead. Yes.
And nice.
My uncle's like that crackhead, like that you loan him $50 three times during the week, like three separate times.
Oh, yeah.
And he always acts like it's the first time I'm asking you. And then when it's time to pay you back, he avoids you even though you don't want the money.
He can't remember asking you for the money. He pretends to not remember. Does he not remember or pretend not to remember?
I don't know. At some point. And then, like, when you try to get the money back or you don't want the money back, you just want to see your uncle. Yeah. He hides from you. There's one time I was like talking to my grandma on her front porch and she was like, yeah, I haven't seen your uncle, blah, blah. And as I'm driving away, I remember like, oh, I forgot my phone charger. So I pull back and I see him climbing down from the roof. So he watched me talk to my grandmother on the front lawn and he was standing on top of the roof watching the conversation. Just like, yeah.
What, thought you were Spider-Man?
Yeah, crackhead. Like a crackhead.
What were you doing up there? Just fixing it?
Yeah.
Did he have an excuse?
Huh? No, he never has an excuse.
You got any
I feel like it's always hard for me because I'm like, all my family's in Nigeria, but I had one
foreigner card every time.
I had one uncle that he would just like.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. She was the youngest American hostage being held by Hamas.